Hi, everyone. This is Brooke James. Welcome to The Grief Coach. If this is your first time listening, I'm so glad you're here. And if you've listened before, welcome back. Today, I am so excited. We have with us Graciela Razor. Graciela is a spiritual guide with a sense of humor. She's an intuitive energy healer and human design reader. She's read my human design chart and I loved it. So Graciela, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I feel like this was such a serendipitous happening where we just saw each other and realized that we had really similar grief experiences. And grief is something that I'm kind of obsessed with just because we don't really talk about it as a culture. And in part of my heritage, I'm half Mexican. Part of my heritage, people are really on top of grief. We have Day of the Dead. People are super comfortable with spiritual things and recognizing that there are spirits and thinking that our loved ones are always with us. And in the West, that's not something we do. And I was just completely blindsided by the entire experience of grief and how it was received, especially among people I know. You know, you and I are both younger. Yeah. So it's often strange to have a grief experience as a younger person. But yeah, that really started my journey kind of down the rabbit hole of just like being so obsessed with this world of grief and how we could be handling it better, not just as individuals, but more so as a collective.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like there's so much room for improvement there. And I'm excited to get in to your thoughts on that, but would love if you could just set the stage for the audience and share what is your grief story so they know where you're coming from today.
Sure. My grief story is with my dad. I grew up being really close to my dad. I'm an only child. He was just the coolest, most interesting person. I know everyone thinks their dad is the most interesting person, or maybe they don't. Like he wasn't a dad joke kind of dad. Like he was an NPR dad. He was an early adopter.
Mine too. Yeah.
Mine too. I love that. He was an early adopter of yoga and meditation and health. And he was just so tapped into being his own person. So we all miss him a lot for that. But my dad got cancer in 2015, and he had a really, really long journey with that. So by the time he passed away in 2019, we knew it would happen. And I can't imagine having an experience where you're not sure what's going to happen or you weren't expecting something. So we were expecting that he would pass, but you never can prepare for what that's going to be like, even if you know it's coming. So in 2019, which is almost 2 years ago at this point, he passed away when I was 27. And what a strange age, like I said, to lose a parent, because I found that my friends just didn't know what was going on and they had no idea how to handle this. It was almost like I was introducing something into their lives that they'd rather not look at, right? Because if no one's parent around you dies, you don't have to think about that your own parents will die. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I was almost sending people on a spiral and then having to comfort them and saying, oh, don't worry, like your parent's probably not going to die for 20 years. So don't be upset. I mean, hopefully more than 20 years, but it was just such an interesting dynamic and such a journey for me as well.
Well, and you bring up something really interesting that I think probably a lot of listeners can relate to who are grieving someone is your first instinct, depending on, I mean, I guess it depends what type of person you are, but like you sometimes when you're speaking to people want to like minimize how big of a deal it is because you don't want the person who's trying to comfort you to feel bad. Like it wasn't as much at the beginning, but like people would be like, oh, like your dad died. Like, I'm so sorry. And be like, it's fine. Like da, 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 da. And like either try to change a subject or something, because sometimes either like you're not in the mood to be as sad as like you will get if you go into it, but just like, it's a very strange dynamic.
It's such a strange dynamic. And you and I are always so in sync. I was going to say the same thing. Often my response when someone says, oh, I'm so sorry, is, oh, it's okay. What a weird response.
So
what a
weird.
Strange culture we live in that's the most acceptable response. Like, no, it's not really okay. It is what it is. And for reasons that we'll talk about, I still feel connected to him. And I know that there are other sides to the situation, but ultimately just saying it's okay is such an insane response. And it's one of those things where I find that, like, on the grief journey, you kind of just have to laugh at the absurdity of things sometimes. And it's okay to laugh at them too. Like, it doesn't diminish it. It's just like, wow, how silly that we all have to walk around pretending that we are just these happy people all the time. And if we have one grain of sadness in us, that it's going to hurt the people around us.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is so interesting that I talk about this on the podcast sometimes, and people be like, oh, hi, how are you? And like, they don't actually want you to answer if it is anything besides fine, good, whatever. But like, the grief stays with you forever. And depending on what's happening in your life, sometimes you delve into that space. Like, it's not all the time for most people, but like, you do have moments or hours or days or weeks where you're just kind of sad. And I think if you can be open with people, like, that's so great. And obviously it's probably not everyone. It's probably just your friends, your family, but it is so strange that so many of us don't feel like we can just be like, no, I'm kind of sad today. And I feel like that should be okay to say.
100%. And I'm terrible. I'm not a crier. I'm someone that will completely hold it in. But what's interesting is that I found myself in this line of work where, I mean, I do spiritual work. I do healings. Sometimes stuff comes up that's challenging for folks, and I hold space for it. And I see people cry now most days. And it's so interesting what happens when you create a safe space for people to actually feel and emote and work through their emotions. They'll do it. Like, they'll work through that stuff right then and there, instead of holding on to it for years and years and feeling like they can't express it. And it's just really, really been a journey. I keep saying journey a lot, but it's been a journey for me to get to this place of comfort with emotions, and not just the good emotions, quote unquote, like the low vibe emotions too, because they're not really low vibe. They're just stuff that's moving through us because we're human.
Yeah. You know, and I think that that is just a really important reminder for all of us that, like, humans have both, like, good and bad, easy and hard emotions, and that's okay. So if we can take a step back and talk a little bit about what exactly you do, and then, because if people are not familiar with what a spiritual guide, I think could mean a lot of things depending on who you are. So, like, can you talk a little bit more about that, what that means? But also, you used to work in advertising, and can talk about that career transition and how that overlapped with your grief processing.
Yeah, it's so funny. People that meet me now cannot imagine me working in a corporate job, and people that knew me a few years ago are so surprised to find me doing the work that I'm doing now. So I call myself a spiritual guide. I always have to roll my eyes at that term a little bit, but it's really what best encompasses what I do, which is helping people kind of just navigate their spiritual awakenings and their spiritual journeys and get in touch with themselves in a way that we're often not encouraged to in our current culture. So I do that with Human Design, which is a whole other podcast and a half. It's like astrology, a really intense version of astrology for anyone who's never heard of it. I do that with energy healing, which is just wild. I mean, we're all energy. We know that we're all energy, and we're having a very difficult time acknowledging as a culture that energy can be worked on, energy can be felt. Like, we can do things to raise our vibration, we can do things to hurt our vibration, and we're all affected by energy all the time. everyone knows that we have this energetic vibration, because you can walk into a room with someone and know, ooh, I hate the vibe this person's putting out. And everyone knows that experience, right? Where it's like, get me the hell out of this room. And so I just think it's funny that people have a harder time getting to a place of recognizing that our energy is like its own thing that can be worked on and felt. So I like to use that example for people who kind of aren't familiar with that aspect of it. And I do writing as well. I find writing to be really healing. I like to share just the teachings that I know and just my thoughts on this current paradigm that we're in.
And that energy thing, I have a couple questions about that. Because the first thing that comes to my mind, your energy is different if you're grieving. Do you ever work with people who are going through a loss? I know most of what you do is pretty individualized, but that you have any suggestions for those who are grieving on how to kind of work some of this grieving energy through themselves so they can process it. Does that question make sense?
Yeah, that's okay. Such a good question. Such a good question. Yeah, I mean, if you're grieving often, and this is a whole, you have an aura, right? You have an energetic body that's surrounding you. And often if you're grieving, your aura will kind of shrink down. Your body is in a hibernation mode. Your body's trying to preserve its resources. You're just not shining as brightly as maybe you would be during another time. And that's perfectly fine. Like when someone died 2 weeks ago that you love, that is not a time you have to shine brightly. So like there's an element of just sitting in that and just being in that auric field that maybe feels a little smaller or different than what you're used to. But then when I work on people who are grieving, what I find is that they have a lot of stuck emotion, a lot of blockages around the heart, because as we mentioned before, we're often not able to move through and process things in a way that would truly support our energy. Just as an aside, I don't think we're taking enough time off around death as a culture. I was off for a week and then I was back virtually for another week before I went into the office after my dad died. But I remember someone saying, oh, you're so lucky you got to take that week off. And I thought, what? Lucky? Like, what do you mean lucky? Like, if someone wanted to take a month off because someone died, that should be fine. If someone said, I'm not coming back for 6 months, like that's fine too. Uh-huh. But I mean, I know people that have gone back after a few days just because that's how we live. Like we prioritize that part of our energy over our grief and over the pain in our hearts.
Well, and we could have a whole separate conversation. And I've gotten into this with a few different people that like most companies will only give you like, 3 to 5 days off. I think 5 is pretty typical for a corporate job, but that's your bereavement days for the year. So if like, God forbid, 2 people die in a year, like, yes, you can take sick days. Yes, you can take vacation days, but like most workplaces are not set up to support what is a long process.
100%. Yeah. It's so crazy. Like we keep coming back to that. All of this stuff around grief is so crazy.
It's so crazy. So I stopped working. I think I told you this when we first started talking, that I stopped working the week we put my dad in hospice, and we did hospice at home. And I remember a family member said to me, 2 weeks later, like, so when are you gonna go back to work? And I was like, what? I can't even talk to one person, barely. Like the thought of like going into a meeting, like I was so foggy that like I'm impressed seems like the wrong word to use, but I'm kind of like shock and awe of people who go back to work quickly. But then I think there is also so many people who like use work as a distraction because our emotions are scary and hard. And so a lot of people don't want to deal with them quite yet because it's painful.
Yeah. And then it comes back to what we were talking about with that stuck energy getting caught in the body.
Full circle. Yes.
Yeah. Very full circle, where if you don't process something, like your heart, you can think of it almost like as your energy as an artery that's just mm-hmm. getting hardened and hardened, and there's a blockage and there's something coming and you're not dealing with it. And then it just all comes down on you. So if you can kind of work to keep your heart open, that's my advice for people. When it's a really, really hard time to keep your heart open, because your heart being open means that you have to feel the loss of this person that means so much to you. But if you can do it, and if you can walk through the world with an open heart, feeling your emotions, getting into your body, literally just placing your hands on your heart and sending yourself energy there, because you don't have to be a healer to send yourself some good energy. Mm-hmm. All of those things can be really helpful, and they feel painful in the moment because it's not easy to have an open heart. It's not just like the phrase open-hearted feels so light and carefree, but sometimes it's really, really painful. Sometimes it means feeling the tough stuff. But if you can do that, if you can feel it in the moment, it's going to serve you so much better in the long run.
That's so beautiful and really wonderful advice. I'd like to get into our discussion on embracing some of these gifts that you already had, and loss was kind of a catalyst for this. And I think definitely for the spirituality, which you just were starting to talk about as you transition from corporate into this other way you spend your time much more spiritually, but also connecting to the other side. If you can share that with the audience.
Yeah. When I think about my spirituality journey, I was raised somewhat spiritual, so none of this is completely new to me. My mom is always just like, oh, you found your way back. That's nice. I had like the one set of parents in the world who were like bummed out that I got a corporate job. I love it. I love it. None of this is like completely out of left field for me, but I did find that basically the day my dad passed away, something started to shift in my body. And I've heard other people who are spiritual, like spiritually gifted folks, kind of talk about this happening for them as well, where a loss was ultimately what pushed them over the edge to really start embracing their gifts. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was definitely my experience. And basically, I want to challenge people to actually reconsider the experiences that they've had through the lens of spirituality, because I found that I was experiencing things that were deeply spiritual experiences. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't have the languaging to recognize them, I just wasn't seeing them as that. And I'll just share, like, when my dad passed away, I was in New York, he was in California, and I didn't know he had passed away. And I was having a fun beach day, to be honest.
Wow.
And I was walking to my car, and suddenly I was just completely surrounded by hundreds of little balls of light. And I had no idea what was going on. And wow. I was blinking my eyes, and I was like, what the heck is this? And then I just wrote it off. But then I got in my car, and about 20 minutes later, my mom called to say that my dad had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back on that now, I can recognize that that was, of course, him kind of making his way over from California to come say goodbye. And if something like that happened to me now, where I'm so in this space and so in tune with what's happening around me energetically, I would kind of know immediately and have such appreciation for it. And I do now, looking back, but it's just funny because I just blinked my eyes and I kind of wanted it to go away and I didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is listening and is doubting that you've had a spiritual experience around grief, like dig back into your memories. Like I bet mm-hmm. there's something there for you, because we are always, always being supported by our loved ones, even when they've passed on.
Yeah. And I think like the being open to signs is very important. And those, I think, look like different things to different people. I talk about a lot, like the day my dad died, there all day was a cardinal circling the house. And my uncle was like, oh, that's our dad. He had red hair. That's our dad coming to get Beau. And then that night, the night nurse was like, it's going to be tonight, which is a whole nother, like, hospice nurses are such angels. And the fact that, like, people in the palliative care space can, like, so someone has been sick for so long and they can be like, no, it's tonight. And like that they know is also just crazy to me. But now when I see a robin, because someone told me robins are signs someone is coming to visit you, and a cardinal, I think that's, those are my dad. And then butterflies, I think, are my aunt. So, and that's what, every time we see butterflies in our family, we're like, oh, that's Susan coming to visit. Like, and so I think I haven't as much seen things in space. I've seen more physical objects, but it sounds like you're probably a little bit more open to all of this than I am and paying attention to it.
That's so funny.
But one thing, like when we first spoke about this kind of spiritual connection you have as to the other side, like I would love if you can go a little bit more into detail on that, because when someone first reached out to me, this was like a while ago, and they're like, I'm a medium, I want to come on your podcast. And I was like, nah, like, I don't know. Like, but like, the more I think about it and the more I talk to people, I'm like, no, this is great. And definitely into it. So can you kind of just share, what is that? What does that feel like, look like for people who aren't less familiar with the concept?
Yeah. And it's so funny that you had that reaction, because I honestly would have had that reaction a couple years ago. And on some days, I probably still would, because there's a lot of BS out there in the spiritual world. Like, I'm not over here trying to claim that everyone has the answer, nor right. do I have the answer. So if anyone ever tells you that they have the answer in the spiritual space, run far away. That's a huge red flag. But mediumship is something that I'm just barely getting comfortable starting to own and speak about. Mm-hmm. I realized almost immediately, took a little longer than the balls of light, but I realized almost immediately that my dad was still talking to me. And I am clairaudient, which means that I can kind of like hear things that aren't, you know, that aren't being said, which, you know, might sound like to some people that I'm going crazy, but I promise you I'm not going crazy. So I'll just receive messages or just hear things kind of in my head that I couldn't have otherwise known. And I realized that I was hearing messages from my dad, and that he would just pop in from time to time to just give me a message or tell me something, sometimes even tell me a joke, which those are my favorite, to be honest, because they feel the most like him. And I feel like in spirituality, like, we're often connecting to something very serious and something that's really like, this is an important message. But sometimes the spirits will come through and they'll just like be having a fun, playful day, or kind of like making fun of us, which I really love, because not everything has to be so heavy. But I realized that I could still hear him, not every day, not even most days, but that he would just come by from time to time. And I started working with that. I started sitting with it. And I realized that when I was working on clients' energy, when I was doing healing for them, that they would also receive messages, that they would receive messages always for their highest good. So things, just little pieces of guidance, or maybe their dad had passed and he was just coming by to say hi. Sometimes I don't receive anything profound at all. But as I started to open up to the work, it became clearer and clearer that I was getting messages from people's spirit teams. So I don't think of myself as a medium like in like that, that is my one job. Like I am just a medium. I'm not like the Long Island medium. Like you wouldn't see me in a room full of people just like pointing to someone and being like, "Ooh, like your dog is coming through." And I like love the Long Island medium. I think a lot of people love her and I do believe she's naturally gifted, but that is just not really, that's not my style as much. Mm-hmm. I find that I can't always control who's going to come through. A lot of the times when I'm working with like the spirit realm, I'll get people coming through who are people's ancestors from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And like, wow, that's lovely and cool. But I don't necessarily think that people connect to that in the same way as, oh, your dad is coming through right now and has a message for you, which happens sometimes too. But when you're working with spirit, you often have to just release control and allow for them to kind of support you however you need to. It's the same thing as if you were asking for a sign from a loved one, which I know a lot of people do. You never force that sign to happen. You just release control and you trust that they are going to send it to you.
Yeah. And that release of control is so difficult, especially like for a lot of type A millennials, which is I think a bulk of my demographic who listens, and myself included. Like I'm definitely like someone who likes control. And when you are looking for signs, and it just, it's very tricky to just be like, no, let's just like see what happens and see what the spirits bring me. So that is a really big shift to like get to be able to do that. And I don't know, do you find that like when you are working with someone, I think you're leading more with like spiritual healing, but sometimes you are getting these messages from spirits. Is that generally how it works?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm always going in with someone's like highest healing in mind. Mm-hmm. And then often a consequence of that is that I receive a message or I receive some sort of guidance for them. Sometimes I'll know who it's coming from. Like, oh, this is coming from your grandpa. He says, hey. Or wow. Sometimes I won't know. Like sometimes we have a whole spirit team of folks supporting us. And I don't just mean like people we know that have passed on. Like we also have our spirit team that includes our highest self. So there's a you that exists in this world. And now we're getting really out there. There's a yeah, you that exists in this world. There's the you that I'm talking to right now, who's operating with maybe some limiting beliefs, who has this ego, who like knows how people want her to be and how people don't want her to be. And like, yeah, we're all so human. And like, I love that. Like, I'm so down for studying the human experience. And we have this highest self that's kind of like, it's a part of us and it's a little bit above and outside of ourselves. So we have a version of us that's kind of like a little more omniscient, a lot less controlling, no ego, kind of just like hanging out in the spirit realm, knowing a lot that we just can't know. Like mm-hmm. they're just being, living an experience that we couldn't live because we decided to be human. So you have that highest self on your spirit team. So often I'll tap into that for people because your highest self always knows that like you shouldn't call that guy. And right. And we can tap into our own highest selves too. And often we just don't because it's like, oh man, my highest self is going to tell me not to eat this like second cookie. And I want to eat this second cookie. And, you know, hopefully we're using it for something a little more consequential than that. But
right,
your highest self is always available to tap into you. So that's a huge member of people's spirit teams that I'll work with. And then I'll work with people who've passed recently, but also ancestors that are much, much further back. Like I mentioned, like great, 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 great grandfathers.
Wow. Okay. I have a question that you don't need to answer if you don't want to, and I can edit it out. What types of like, I feel like, what would my great, great grandma like What would they have to say to me? Can you share kind of some of the types of things that sometimes spirits say, or is that like confidential and you cannot share?
No, I can completely share that.
Okay, I'm so curious. Don't say like for me. I mean, yeah. If you want to, and it's like, cool, but like, I'd love to know, but no, just like the types of things that will typically come up when you are doing a healing session with someone.
Yeah. So often it's guidance about our path in life, mm-hmm. but it's maybe not as specific as people want to get. So people will come to me, not necessarily come to me, but like they'll come to me for healing. And while we're talking, I'll get a sense that they're like really, really wanting to know this very specific thing about like, should I take this coaching program or not? And often their guides will come through and say, hey, what if you zoomed out a little bit and looked at the bigger picture and got out of your own way and allowed yourself to like pursue whatever makes you happy instead of what you think you need. So they're often coming from a place of just like, what should you do in this situation if you had no ego about it? And they'll tell you, I find that they're usually very, very encouraging. And I think that that's often because the people I work with they're really nice people. They're doing good things in the world. I don't know if, you know, if I was working with like a mob boss, if they'd come down and be super encouraging, but generally they're really encouraging. They're sending you messages of affirmation a lot of the time. A lot of the time I find that the messages that come through are asking people to kind of go bigger. So usually people are keeping themselves a little bit small, and the spirit team is saying, actually, what if you allowed yourself to be really powerful? Why couldn't you just step into this thing? Like, they'll really call you out if they see you holding yourself back.
Well, I love that, because you also said that like your highest self is what is operating without ego. Like, ego is what makes us all human. And, or a lot of us, that's something definitely that like gets in my way. but that's so interesting and when you think of like a sweet, like ancestral, like grandma, they're like, oh no, just like do what makes you happy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that's right. So interesting that those are the messages, types of things that come through.
Because they're, I mean, if you have a grandma who's from the 1600s, she's not coming through and operating in the 1600s. She's coming through and seeing the world that you're living in now. And she's just supporting your spirit as you learn and age through this 3D world. Mm-hmm. And that's what she's giving you guidance on. Like, that's why we can understand them too. I get a lot of people who ask me like, what if my ancestor like spoke a different language? Well, they're not going to speak to you in that language because they're going to communicate. They want the message to come through to you. So they're going to communicate to you however they can get that through. Maybe that is a sign, but you know, maybe you hear a message, or maybe you receive a message from me. But like, there are so many less rules in the spirit realm. So like, when we get caught up in these little details of the how, it's often pointless, because we don't need to know the how. We just need to trust that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what gets in my way. It's type A ego. I'm like, okay, but how, like, what exactly should I be doing? And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Literally. Yeah. I feel like half the time I ask, they're like, oh no, no, no. You're making it way too complicated.
We were talking about spirituality generally prior to recording. We were also talking about like kind of the intention of death and like that concept. And I'd love if you could expand on that a little bit for the audience, because I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. I find that death is a lot easier to handle when we believe that there's something greater. Mm-hmm. Or when we know that there's something greater. And I'm not just talking about heaven, because I actually wasn't raised as a religious person at all. Like I said, I was raised pretty spiritual. And how I was raised was that if people don't know about Day of the Dead in Mexican culture, there's like this one day in November where they kind of, the veil becomes thinner between mm-hmm. the spirit realm and our world here. And we make an altar to people who have passed. We get their favorite foods. We get pictures of them. We get, like, if they like to smoke, we get cigarettes, like all the things. And it's actually a really festive occasion. So you decorate, you have beautiful flowers, there's dancing and music and celebration. And you recognize that your loved ones are coming to visit you that day. Mm-hmm. So you didn't lose them. They've just moved on and they're coming to visit you and they're watching over you and they get to see how amazing you're doing every year. They're not mm-hmm. missing out on any of that. They're just with you, watching it in a different way. And you connect with them and you can connect with them every day in that way if you want to. It doesn't just have to be this once a year thing. Like, I find that our spirit teams are so willing and ready to support us. And they're so much bigger too than we think mm-hmm. they are. Like, maybe you just think you have, oh, I have my one grandpa watching over me. Like, you have hundreds of people on your spirit wow. team. Wow. You have so many people you can call upon. Like, you always have so much more support than you realize. And the cool thing about that is they're on a team. And they're cheering you on. They always want you to succeed. You always have guidance from beyond that you can tap into. Mm-hmm. And so I find that when we step back and we see death on that more macro level, it's really helpful for just realizing that, like, things go on so much deeper than we could ever possibly know. And I say all this not to sugarcoat death, because I'm definitely an optimist, but I'm also a realist too. And I recognize that, yeah, since my dad's in the spirit realm, like, we can't watch John Oliver on the couch together like we mm-hmm. used to. Like, I miss stuff like that. And I also recognize that he has other ways of supporting me now.
And I thank you for, like, saying that, because I think, at least for me, like, something that was so frustrating was people be like, well, he's watching over you. Be like, cool. Like, I can't call him and talk to him on the phone. Like, sure. Like, that's fine. That's great. But I would rather be here. Like, so I think, I don't know, it does help bring some comfort, but recognizing and, like, verbalizing that, like, it's not the same, I think, is really important.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, anyone who's going to try to discount any experiences and be like, we're in the 3D, like, let's bypass it and get to the 5D, like, everything is love. Well, everything is love, and some things just suck. It yeah. sucks when someone dies. Like, that, there's no amount of spirituality that can kind of get you around that. Like, we're not all walking around completely enlightened. And sure. these things are really hard. And you're exactly right. Like, it's not that we no longer have experiences together. And if you've lost a loved one, like, yeah, your loved one is still very available to have experiences with you whenever you would like. And those experiences are going to be different. They're just, yeah. I mean, it is very different when I receive a message from my dad, or even when we do have a little conversation. We're not having a conversation for an hour. The spirits are much more brief than that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny you say about having a conversation, because one of my uncles be like, oh yeah, I talk to my parents all the time. I talk to your dad all the time. Like, I talk, and I'm like, what? Like, and he's like, no, all the time. And he's this chill man. And it just, I don't know, that brings him so much comfort. And so I don't know if it is a conversation or more he is just talking or what it is, but I think all of that to say, everyone kind of needs to figure out what works for them in their own grieving process. But I loved when you and I first got connected, this idea of this spiritual team, because in my life and people I know who are not dead, I like to think of my like board of advisors of like, I have people I go to for career advice, for like romantic advice, for like whatever. And I don't know, it's just kind of nice to think of that like team of love and support around you. So when you mentioned this concept, I just loved it.
I love the board of advisors term. I might start using that too, because yeah, they really are. They're like these people that you go to for wisdom, that know so much more than you, that you can really trust, that like, yeah, all, and they're a board of advisors that always have your highest good in mind, not one that's like going to try to kick you out of the company. Mm-hmm. So you can really, really rely on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we talked about everything we wanted to talk about. You want to share any last pieces of information? And then also I would love if you could share with people where to find you online if they want to hear more from you, and a brief overview maybe of the types of services you provide, and just telling the audience, I did a human design reading with you and it was like literally incredible. And I still think about it and I like go look at the notes I took all the time. So definitely highly recommend.
Oh, thank you. I love that. I love that you're so dedicated to it. That makes me happy. I guess last thing I would say is I didn't reach out actually for spiritual support when my dad died, just because I didn't know what to do. And that's, yeah, again, that's why I'm so grateful to you for having this podcast. But I would say do reach out and give yourself some time. I wouldn't necessarily go to someone for healing like the week that your loved one has passed. But if maybe a couple months have passed and you're doing the work to integrate it on your own, and you know that you really need some help moving that stuck energy and you just need some support and someone to hold space for that. And maybe, I mean, not everyone gets messages that does healing, but yeah, maybe someone to connect with your loved one. Then seek it out. It's there for your support. And I don't think I knew what to turn to for support, mm-hmm, besides friends, of course. But as we said, they had their own issues going on with all this.
Right, right.
So it can be nice to have that, but don't rush yourself on it. You can find me on my website, grassyellarazor.com, or on my Instagram, which is grassyella_razor. And I do human design readings. I do energy healing. And that's where I do that channeling of your spirit team as well. And I work with people one-on-one in longer form containers too. So just reach out to me. I'm always down to DM. Like, I, especially if someone says like, oh, I have a grief story, I'm like, yep, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So definitely, I would love to hear from you.
All right, amazing. And I'll put all that information in the show notes so people can easily find you. And this was amazing. I'm so glad that we got connected and got to have this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. You can find us online at thegriefcoach.co and on social at the_griefcoach. You can go write a nice review, nice reviews only, on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people looking for this type of content find it. Thanks so much for listening.